The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Welcome in. This is Country Roads Confidential at Earsports.com, a Paramount podcast. I am Mike Sazza here on a Monday morning here with an overflowing mailbox full of questions that subscribers have asked. I need some help to answer. Welcoming in Chris Anderson. Chris, eventful weekend in that
football team played and the baseball team played. By the way, our preview on the baseball team. Nailed positions. I think we got most of the starters right, except like maybe left side, right side for one. But more importantly, a lot of people who listened and gave us feedback on it had the same questions and then were like excitedly checking in like, hey, did you see who they started at second? That was my pick for third base. And then, oh, look who they put into the DH spot. Look who they put into left field. And it occurs to me that, like, we had all this, like, what ifs every year about football and basketball. What portal player is going to go here? How are they going to – what's your starting five, your closing five? And, like, baseball kind of had, like, a similar excitement. Smaller pie, and then obviously slice the pie too. But it's a healthy thing when you could look ahead – to, I don't know, who's starting at third base for your college baseball team in the middle of February. I kind of like that. I think that's healthy.
It's your way of saying you want to start with baseball questions from the mailbag? Is that what this
is? Are there
is?
Some? Yeah, oh, yeah. I just, not quite football season, and it is basketball season, but didn't have a baseball game yesterday. 1-1 so far, so let's figure out what we've learned, I guess.
I guess we can, we will start there because there were, again, a couple questions, and I think you touched on it last time, but maybe we can give a recap for the people who are asking it again. Because Philip Smith asked, can we shame the athletic department into sending radio or TV crew to Western Kentucky for a few weeks? That's the upcoming series. And then somebody, WVU fan in Pratt asked, why can't we broadcast or stream all baseball games? It's 2024. So can you kind of recap for me what you said the other day? Because about Stetson, you know, that the home team's in charge. Is that right? Like they're in charge of the broadcast.
Yeah, it's all that tier three rights. All the basketball for men's and football for those who have it. That all goes to your tier three media partners. So that's pretty much belongs to the media rights partner for your conference. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know Stetson's tier three situation, but either way, like they have the rights to broadcast out there, the home stuff. When you see like contracts between like two big football programs, like a Big Ten team and Big 12 team, what channels are going to be on? Well, it depends who the home team is. It's just like referees. Like typically the visiting team gets the referees, the home team gets the television. That's just kind of how that stuff goes. So for rights like that, the home team is in, like typically has, I don't know if you call it first refusal or first usage or whatever, but if they're not going to do anything with it and you have the capacity to do it, let someone else, like if West Virginia wants to send a student down there from their campus radio station, or wants to send, you know, one of their people in their what do they even call that now? IMG College Learfield Mountaineer Sports Zone thing. They want to send someone down there to do it, that's fine. Like it's a they gotta they have like roadblocks in the way, don't get me wrong, but I do think there's ways they could have done better. Like, there was no live stats that were being publicized for the game. Like you had to really search to find it. There's interest in the team. And even if there's not, there's still a way to do it. And could they do it for Western Kentucky? Same thing. Like Western Kentucky's in Conference USA, correct? Pretty sure that. So again, like, is this team going to be an ESPN Plus team that they're playing? That's pretty much what it comes down to here. Do they have ESPN Plus access? So like if Western Kentucky's a team that has an ESPN Plus capacity, you'll get that. If not, I really wonder if schools will or should just kind of take the onus upon themselves, be like, hey, we have a decent team, we have a lot of interest. You guys aren't doing it. Do you mind if we do? Can you give us an equipment truck? Can you give us a seat out in the camera tower in center field or behind home plate? And just figure out how to do it. That's the one thing, Chris. Figure it out. There's a problem, figure it out.
You, how's your play-by-play skills, Mike? You want to go down there and put in a little earpiece and get started?
I can do it. Give me the 7 second delay button just in case, but I think I can pull it off too. But unfortunately, I'm very busy here, so we'll have to find
Yes.
someone else.
Or will be very busy soon. But we'll get to that in a moment. One more baseball one from Pro Town here. When will the NCAA learn that starting baseball season in February is monumentally stupid? Mike, your thoughts on February start time for baseball.
Don't like it. Just, but there's also, it's not a Northeast sport. It just hasn't been the most power, the consolidation of votes and all that stuff. That just comes from the Southeast and the West where it's warmer and they can do it. So it'll never probably change because that's the way it's been. And like, that's a big thing for college sports. It's like, oh, it's always been this way. Let's do it. But if you're looking for like a pioneer or a blueprint, just Google Randy Mazze's baseball plan. That may not be the letter for letter way to do it. It's a pretty good start.
And I'm wondering if this has to deal with, I mean, I think it's the calendar. You know, like for instance, Little League starts now. We have our first practice tomorrow, and it's February. It's going to be February 20th. It's going to be 40 degrees, but because of the way the calendar works out and how the Little League works, it's that they have to finish before the county school system finishes school. This is how that all that works. So I wonder if they have to start, colleges have to start in February because they need to finish, sort of. In time by what, June, you know, May, whenever their school finishes. I don't know if the NCAA even cares about that because I know obviously the College World Series goes into the summer some, but I'm just wondering if you know, baseball can be a long season when you're playing, what do they play, 50 games? Like that takes a while. So you're going to have to start earlier if you're not creeping into essentially next year as far as the school calendar goes.
Back on the broadcast thing, I don't understand why they're like ESPN Plus does like in studio games for basketball. Like, do you have to be there to call the game? Like, could you set up in like your radio station in Morgantown or in the Coliseum even? Like, if you want to be like that, like, okay, let's have a, I'm assuming that's where the athletic department is headquartered, so Coliseum. And like, just find a room and be like, hey, we have a feed here. It's not great to put online. It's somebody's BlackBerry, right? But like, I got an idea what's going on. I know who's gonna. I'm following the stats so I can give you the pitch count and like what his numbers are during the game. And just weird to me that like you didn't even have a live box score link go out to people. And there was one, but you really had to search to find it. Like there's just a lot of ways to do that better. And I don't. There, I'm sure there's an explanation. I'm not sure it's good enough.
I'm just picturing the Bull Durham scene where they're on the away games and the guy's sitting back at his own radio station getting the stats and the plays written onto a notepad and then he's talking them out and smacking two sticks together to act like it was a hit. That's let's do it. I mean they did it then. We can do it now.
Ingenuity.
All right, moving on to kind of football-ish. This one's a little more, I don't know. L. Schaefer wants to know, do you feel like Ren Baker and Amanda Mazie, I'm assuming, are dragging us along with this whole mayo bath promise? Mike, have they set up a media gaggle, if you will, to witness this mayo bath that was promised for the, I believe that, what was that, the Country Roads Trust push, right?
If they got to a certain number of followers or I guess
Subscribers, yeah.
patrons, whatever you want to call it, yeah, by a certain time, and they definitely got there. And I'm assuming that dousing one or both of them in mayo was a motivation for some people to do it. I hope not. Right? Much more likely to help the students, I would guess. But I'm sure there's somebody's like, you know, don't let that Ren Baker. I'm paying $7 for a hot dog. Time to dunk him in mayo. I would think that there's going to be something very public about it, but like you've got to have cameras around. Like you just have to. It can't be like, hey, we did this, by the way. Here's a picture. No, there's got to be some type of staging, whatever. And I wonder if it's not like as simple as a spring game. Because I'm assuming that Amanda would be calling the spring game, right? That's a tier three thing. They have the rights to do that because it's their own property. So that'll be streamed, I would think. And then like she's a sideline reporter for it. So, and she also does like the pregame studio show. So maybe there. So like she'll be around that day, and obviously Ren Baker will too. He typically the AD typically drops in for like an interview during the spring game. You know, it's in the middle of second quarter, the game's kind of blah already. Let's bring the AD in and talk about whatever ground they're breaking or walls they're raising or something like that. Maybe, hey, halftime, by the way, I'm gonna go dunk myself a mayo. Come on, I'm watching the parking lot, stuff like that. Like there's gotta be a way to show it, maybe live. So my point being, maybe spring game. I haven't heard anything about that. People are way more obsessed with this than I am. I can't tell you, Chris, the number of conversations I've had about like, and like with people close to me too, it surprises me about like, I'm like, that wasn't really mayo they poured on Neil Brown, right? And like, oh, it was. I'm like, it was awfully viscous, right? Certainly thinned it with like vinegar. No, it was real mayonnaise. I'm like, well, what does it matter? I'm just saying, like, that looked like, well, no, it was real mayonnaise. I'm like, I don't really care about that. Like, are you saying they're liars? It's not real mayonnaise. I'm like, no, what? So then I had to read like all these articles that have been written about the mayonnaise. We're out of control on this. So let's get it done soon. Just some mayonnaise out of my life for at least a couple of years. And I like mayo.
It's watered down mayo, right? I mean, that's
It's
salt and
very
salt.
viscous. Like, and people are like, no, what they do is they whip it really good for like 5 minutes with a big spoon so it becomes liquid. I'm like, that doesn't sound right. Like, that's not how mayonnaise works, but apparently it is. So again, I need to see that live too. I don't want to read that. I want to see pictures. Have somebody mixing the mayo with a huge wooden spoon that turns it from mayonnaise into a viscous mayonnaise. And then I'll be like, okay, it wasn't vinegar. And then we can all have this figured out.
Put your mayo tinfoil hat on, Mike. No, I
There you go.
don't believe anybody. Don't believe anything they try to tell you. Okay.
Big condiment is trying to trick us.
A couple questions here about the Big Ten SEC Alliance. Possible Air Force wants to know possible positive outcomes and NIL transfer rules, etc. Butler Ear wants to know, with 100 plus football, 300 plus basketball, do they form an alliance and take the NCAA dance to a place that excludes those two conferences? You know, they go football. I'm taking it. He means like big SEC go football and everybody else goes basketball. What does this have an effect on bowls? So let's kind of combine all this because there are a lot of questions in one. I mean, I know we've talked about what's the future here, but how big of an impact is this alliance? We've seen an alliance before and that meant nothing. This is different though, right?
More threatening because those two already have all the power as opposed to trying to get it. So like when the FBS split into Power Five and Group of Five, Autonomous Five and Group of Five, you kind of realize that all right, there's half of this football establishment very serious about this and half doesn't have to be as serious. And now they're gonna like put stakes in there too. So you had the Power Five and the Group of Five. Well, now you have they just decimated the Pac-12, so it doesn't exist anymore. And now you got like these two as opposed to four, never mind five. So you realize that half of the half is more serious about it, and the other half that's like it's going in a certain direction. So they didn't do this just to be like the guardrails. They did this to be the road. They want to actually be the way and the how, the what, the when. That's going to be their dictation if they get what they want. And they can say like, we're just trying to do it to provide direction and how about this, keep up with us. And of course the ACC and Big 12 commissioners are going to say, we don't find this threatening. We don't think this is like an exclusive thing. We want to be part of it too. Let's be part of the conversation. Of course, they're going to say that. What else are they going to say? So I don't buy that. Where's it going to go? I don't know. Like that whole thing about the 5 plus 7, the playoff, that's obvious, I think. But like they were already gunning for that too a little bit. So that's, you know, giving me five automatic bids and seven at large bids instead of six and six. That was a Big Ten SEC want before because there's five conferences. Now there's only four. So you can kind of tell they're getting their way a little bit on this stuff too. But I don't know where it goes ultimately because like they can't break away on their own because the NCAA runs basketball. The conferences run football. So like if they're like, oh, we're just gonna break off and do our own thing, it's gonna be very hard for those two conferences to have a lucrative basketball tournament free from that. So I don't think you're gonna see a breakaway there. Could they break away for football? Absolutely. That's to me how it's going to end up somehow. Like, this is a pretty important. I don't know, Chris, what do you think is like too big of a window? Like, I think like 12 to 18 months, that's like a really important time, which seems like a long time, but nothing happens fast. So that isn't even that long of a time when I think about it. But they didn't do this just to have another alliance people are going to point at and laugh at. They did it for something. I don't know what that is. Is it more seats at the table? Is it a bigger playoff? I don't know, but it's going to be something that the ACC and Big 12 have to keep up with. And it'll be within a year, I think we'd see it. And I just don't know what that is. Could it be a split where they have their own playoff, just those two conferences, and they invite at-larges maybe from abroad? I don't know. It just there's something out there. I'm not quite sure it is. I know all the theories. I agree with a lot of them. I think some of them are kind of crazy. I don't have a unique one to give you, but I just think that they're doing this for a purpose. They didn't just come out of the cave and say, "Hey, we should do this." They did it because they have a plan. They're going to hit the ground running, and time will tell on that. I don't know. Do you have a sharper conclusion than that? I feel like something's coming. I don't know what it is.
Not really, not sharper, because I'm with you. I think this alliance is different because it has teeth to it. It has the we're going to wave our power over the ACC and the Big 12 and everyone else. We are the two most powerful entities in college football, and we will yield that power to get what we want. And you're exactly right. I think that's what they're doing and why they formed this quote unquote alliance. That's the only reason. And as far as the splitting and all that stuff, yeah, same boat. Football is going to split, I think, separately. Technically, it already is separate. For all those listening, like the NCAA is not involved in the bowls. They are not involved in the playoffs. Like that's a completely separate entity. That is why they call the championships for the NCAA is the FCS with the playoffs and everything. That's hosted by the NCAA. All these football bowl subdivision schools, completely separate from the NCAA as far as the postseason goes. So it just seems like that step's already kind of sort of been taken. And it's just, let's just rip the Band-Aid off and just fully separate the football portion of these FBS schools away from the NCAA and move on with it.
Yeah, I think the part that's probably the most interesting or concerning, and it was asking the question, is like, what does this do for like NIL or transfer? And they can be power brokers in this, they can, but they already have whatever they want in NIL because there's no rules. So like, I'm not sure what they're angling for there. Unless so they think it's going to be codified, it's going to be their way to do it, which again, they can invoke that leverage because they're that big and that important too. Transferring, I don't know what they could do about that. Looks like it's going to go away or be very, very thin, hardly recognizable from what it was, but. Could they lobby and leverage? Sure, they have that much power.
Do you think true or false? The next iteration of college football, there will actually be more rules or more clear rules about transfers in NIL, like a salary cap, or you can transfer twice no matter what, but never again, or whatever limitations you want to put on it. Because obviously the NCAA is not clear. But do you think whatever the next iteration of whoever's in charge is going to say, hey, this is what it is, period, end of story?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky. co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, the thing I get is that they don't want it to be as subjective, open to interpretation or legal challenges, or we're like, hey, I understand that this is the ruling that came down here and mine looks a lot like it, but there's just one little thing that's different, because that one little thing, it opens a door. And the next door and the next door, you go down a hallway of changes. You don't want that. So I think they're going to take the interpretation out of it, the subjectivity about out of it, and make it pretty simple. Like if then stuff, if you do this, then you can no longer do that. That's a goal. I think they're actually going to work toward that. I would not be surprised if that's what comes out of it.
Moving on to the next question. This is somewhat related to all of this, but goes way back, too far back for me, probably too far back for you. We're probably both kids at this point, but mm-hmm. WVU Marine 1 asks or says, hey guys, I could have swore back in 1991 when the SEC took South Carolina that it was between them and WVU. Is this true? Do you remember something of this?
Too early for me, Chris. I don't know. Like, yeah. And I've heard that before. And I remember when I was writing my book, there was something about the ACC's pattern of exclusion. I can remember reading something about how the SEC had even passed. And at this point, it would have been like 20 something years ago, 25 years ago, which the timeline adds up to be about right. I never really looked into it. And like just reading this question last night and getting into it today, I didn't get a chance to really ask anybody or get an answer. So I don't know. But like that's a really good homework assignment for people here. If they know more about this, I think it's a pretty cool story. The ACC's no thank you has been well known for generations at this point. You're talking back into the 50s, right? I don't really know as much about the SEC. I know that like, to me, it's harder to believe just because of how like the conference is split in the Southwest. And I don't know that West Virginia was in that mix at all. And or like they weren't in the groups of conferences that split and then created something different. And I don't know that they would have been a big enough name at the time. This is pre-Big East as an independent. So I'm curious about that. It's something I'll be looking into and asking about. But I don't have a great answer to that one. I did not have enough time, but it's not something I'm going to drop for sure. I think it's a pretty interesting one. Do you know more about this?
Do not. I was 7, 6 at the time. And
Lex.
No, don't know much about that. Next question. Chestnuts asks, you have to choose one, joint practices in the summer or one preseason game?
In the summer?
The preseason game? I'm assuming. Yeah. He does say in the summer for the preseason.
I think I would. So if I'm a coach or if I'm a reporter, I would probably say, yeah, game would be awesome. I think if I'm a coach, I'd rather do practices because you can structure and script so many different things. It's much more beneficial. What you do is you have your own practice script for one day and you do what you want. The other team dances with you. And then if you have a second day or a second part of the day, you flip it and the other team does what they want and you go along too. So it's beneficial for both of you. You get to do what you want against another opponent, but you also have to adapt to what another opponent is doing for their own benefit. A game, we know this, we've seen a spring game. How is a game in April going to be much different than a game in June or July? It's not. Be very cautious. You're not going to have players playing very hard, very long. It's revenue. I don't think that'd be much for you. So I would probably, as a coach, be much more into that. And if I'm honest, as a reporter, I don't want to cover a summer game. The spring game is barely coverable as it is. So I would probably be more interested in going out and watching the spectacle and just reporting on what you're seeing and what you're getting and what it actually matters to have joint practices, I think, instead. So put me down practices on both.
I'm with you. With coaches, it's undoubtedly the joint practices because they can just have a scrimmage during the joint practices too. A lot of live football against other opponents. So undoubtedly, joint practice coaches a little closer with fans and reporter view. But still probably joint practices. So the big dude asks, Which new Big 12 school would you be most excited to see a football game at? Least excited. Most and least. What do you got?
Most? I love Colorado, so Boulder would be awesome for me, but I've already been there to cover a game. It was terrific. I've not been to Utah at all. I've been to the Arizona schools. So like BYU and Utah would be probably places I haven't been or haven't been to as a game or like a tourist. So it's a small list, but that would probably be one. New one. I mean, Arizona and Arizona State are kind of like they're similar in that if you go at the wrong time of year, it's going to be miserable. But like, boy, that's a lot better there than it probably is here in like October. So that's hard for me to say no to. Utah is just a long way away. That's not like my favorite thing to do is fly and travel out there anymore too. I don't think I wouldn't be excited about one. Like there are times where I'm just like, boy, I don't miss traveling, especially like 8 o'clock kickoffs and all that stuff where teams are in a hurry to get out of town and you don't have much ability to cover a game. Also airports and people getting on planes before their zone is announced, but that's a whole nother conversation. But sometimes I do miss traveling and like getting out west and seeing some new stuff would be cool. Like I've never covered a game at either one of the Arizona schools or Utah before, so that'd be cool for me. I don't think I'd be bummed out about having that assignment for any one of them. So at that point where like the job doesn't depress me, Chris, so I want to keep my verb going here and not answer the negative here. I'd be excited about all of them. Above all else, probably Utah, because I've not been there for any type of visit before, and looks like it's a pretty good program with a pretty good thing going. I'm imagining West Virginia traveling up there, it'd be a high stakes game too, which that would be fun, I think.
Yeah, I'm with you on the same reasons for all the same places. Would like to see somewhere new, cool places, a lot of fun stuff out there. Nowhere I really don't want to visit. I was going to say Cincinnati, but I guess they were new last year. Sorry, Bearcats.
There are Big 12 cities I'm not excited about traveling. Like, it's hard to get to Manhattan.
Yeah.
That's not my favorite trip. And like the time of year that you go there usually in basketball season, you cross your fingers in the airport, they're going to let you off the ground. So stuff like that. There are some Big 12 schools I'm not jazzed about going to. Some of the new ones, though, mark me down. I'm in.
All right, Mike. It's time to move to basketball. And I'll preface it with this question, which was a little bit of a joke question, but it's going to preview what's to come. Unknown Cynic asks, would you prefer to get questions that did not require a crystal ball or Ouija board to answer?
Ouija board, especially. That's scary. You never know.
Yeah, that kind of freaks me out.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I had answers to a lot of these questions because a couple of reasons. One, it wouldn't be as aggravating. Two, it means to be done.
Yeah.
like, if we're done with this, that's great.
Let's hit some of the smaller ones before we get to the, because we're going to lump a few of them together into the just coaching thing. But Patio Toad 2021 asks, does this year help or hurt Josh Eilert's coaching career, setting aside the money he banked? Mike, what do you think his next spot, for instance? What do you think this does for him?
Boy, it doesn't help him because like it pains me to say this because it hasn't been a good representation of him as a coach. And that's not all his fault, but people aren't going to allow that nuance. And I can remember writing this or thinking this or saying this or perhaps all three in the preseason that this could be a great thing for him because whether it's Rem Baker or somebody else, there's no way this is going to end where you don't know what you have to know about Josh Eilert. I don't know that's true anymore though, because I just don't know that he ever got to do his thing. And I don't think he was able to coach this team the way he wants to for various reasons. I mean, availability is one, but like the portal stuff is hard. Like what is a better combination where you can't play these two guys together, but they're portal guys. So you kind of have to. Where you really can't be as hard on guys in practice because they're like seniors and hey, this season's gone. Why am I going to try really hard? Why are we going to do this extra practice drill? I don't know. I just wonder about that stuff being there. And so part of me just thinks like it never really got off the ground or down the runway or took off or whatever. So I probably have to go back on myself there and say that wasn't entirely accurate because there is a lot at the end of this that you probably don't know about Josh Eilert and how he can do this. So I think if it's going to take a lobby for him probably to help. Like you're going to have good references for him to get a head coaching job because who is going to be excited, Chris? This is obviously not fair, but this is also reality. You got to win the press conference or the press release. Like if you have fired a coach or if a coach is retired, you lost a popular coach perhaps, or you have lost a coach who you've got to upgrade on and a guy who is 10 and 22, that's not going to do it. So a head coach thing might be out for him. Now, the other thing is like, he is a firefighter now. Like, there's not a whole lot that he has encountered this year that he hasn't had to extinguish or otherwise deal with. Like he's gotten the kitten out of the tree. How many times? a couple times, but it hasn't been entirely flawless either. So even the things that you could say, man, that guy would be great on my bench, right? Woody, it's hard to be as like universally supportive of that. So I think just as a real answer here, yeah, it's going to be hard to say this has been helpful for him. In 1 or 2 years, when the recency bias is gone, and he has been a second assistant, a first assistant, at a program for a while, and a job opens up, I think he can go in and say, man, I had a really wild 23-24 season. Let me tell you about everything that that prepared me for in this job. And by the way, I got back to earth the last season, the last two seasons. This team made the tournament. I was in charge of the centers or the guards. Look at the progress here. Then all of a sudden you scratch your chin. You say, you know what? This guy makes a lot of sense. So ask me again in a couple of years, if he's still doing this, he wants to do this, right? I think that there's a certain situation that works out for him. Is he going to be a head coach in April somewhere? I just have a hard time thinking that's the case. But also, like, that's not necessarily a bad thing too, because what's the caliber of job that he would get to take, want to take in April? Probably not the best. So, and that's kind of why I said this yesterday and something I wrote. I would, man, if I had my druthers and I'm the new coach, I would really think long and hard about keeping Eiler. And if I was the administration, I'd think long and hard about encouraging the new coach to keep Eiler, because he's done a lot for you this year. He didn't ask for this. He has a career and aspirations, and like having to be an assistant coach in the MEAC next year because there's no spot for him here on a 5 assistant coach bench, and having him be an assistant coach in the MEAC just because he has to have a job, that doesn't seem right or fair to me right now. But I'm also not in charge. I don't know how that's going to work out, but I just think this is not going to be the catapult for him that it could be, because so much of it beyond his control.
Next question. I'm going to shorten this a little bit. We each get one word to answer it, because the last time this discussion came up, several longtime members of the message board threw away years of good posting and became problems. So let's keep it short. Should Chris Beard be considered in the upcoming coaching search for WVU?
Yes.
No. Okay. Hey, we've answered this before, but let's give our latest little update. JAL1234 asks, how many players on the basketball roster will be on next year's team?
Let's let that go.
I think you listed this on the message board already. Do you have it in front of you? How many are eligible? Because it's 9, right? That's eligible.
I think it's 9. Yeah. There's only 12 scholarships. Only 3 guys are absolutely out of eligibility, and 9 could be back.
And we predicted 3.
Our over-under was 3.5, right?
But yeah. So there you go. Moving on, WVU Mountie 2001. He wants to know if Ren was playing 3D chess with the interim coaching search because nobody wanted to be the guy to replace Hugs. But doesn't the season we've had change that calculus? Now you're not the guy that follows Hugs. You're the guy that came in and fixed what the interim guy broke with a much more understanding fan base. Was this Ren's plan all along? Is he a secret mastermind?
Boy, I'd like to say that. It's a good theory, right? Tinfoil hat, where'd it go? I just think it was... Yeah, let's say yes. I mean, it was declarative. Everybody jokes about the font, but like, that's not an accident. Nobody looked at that and said, no one's going to make a big deal out of that. They wanted us to make a big deal out of that. And they wanted to be very clear the job was open too. And just to let people know, probably at the time, who were panicking about replacing Bob Huggins with Josh Eilert, or just replacing Bob Huggins in June and not having a plan, that big tag of interim, that was a, hey, slow down. Look at this thing right here. You know, we're going to be fine. We're just going to wait a while, check in next year. So, yeah, there's probably a method of that madness, I'm sure.
All right, rapid fire these next couple here. Without naming names, how many coaches is Ren currently engaging with, and to what level of interest? Smear asks.
Engaging with? 0, probably. Interested in? Again, treat it like a top 25. You're considering 30 or 40. You got to narrow it down to 25. Maybe 10 or 12 are good. You get to the final four and you pick one. So it's a big thing right now, and it'll start whittling down. But obviously he has ideas that are closer to the finish line that he probably hopes. But to say that he's got this done, I would be surprised. Probably have heard about it or heard something about that a little bit. But seriously, I would say probably between 8 and 12 that he's not he's having conversations with, but like when the time goes and he's got to act on something here, he's ready.
Okay, I'm going to tweak this question from Salty Dog 8159 because you just said 8 to 12. You know, not definitively, but 8 to 12 guys, let's say. Is Ben McCollum on that 8 to 12?
No.
Okay. The next question from Salty Dog 8159. He wants to know, which is the biggest contributor to this basketball team's struggles? Number one, inexperienced coaching staff and their abilities. Number two, lack of Big 12 talent on the roster. Number three, fluctuating roster resulting in a lack of cohesiveness.
The last one is really hard for me to get past. Yeah. You could be better coaches if you had more time and your players could be more talented collectively to make up for whatever lacks individually if you had more time together.
I'm 100% on three. Like, you know, am I completely sold on this coaching staff being the best possible? Not yet. I've given incomplete on every grade I can because I don't know how you grade them. But the inconsistency with the roster, guys in, guys out, hurt, suspended, whatever, it led to a rough start. And then the rough start leads to maybe some poor attitudes or a lack of, you know, effort at times. And then that leads to this and that leads. And it just seemed like a snowball effect that I think all began with the roster uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
Timber Pimp wants to know, you know, essentially no matter who comes in as the new coaching staff, are they going to be okay? And will Ren talk with them about old players coming in and using the practice facility whenever they want?
That's a great question because that's part of Huggins' program and that's part of the West Virginia program now too. They have a locker room in the practice facility. I would say that will the coach be okay? He better be. That's part of the program now too. I don't think you can get rid of that. And also, like, I'm not sure he would be opposed to, like, what is this Devin Ebanks guy doing in my practice facility? Is that Kevin Jones? Get him out of here. That would not be a way to win over fans or former players who you really need to transition, especially, Chris. Like, you're going to have some people from the Huggins era, from before the Huggins era, hold your hand to help you cross the bridge into Morgantown. So closing that off would be a bad idea, I think.
Yeah, and it's not like these guys are coming in and like disrupting practice or anything like that. They understand, like, hey, if practice is going on, those guys get first dibs, you move to another court, you go work out something else, and hey, you can help out if the coach asks. But I think there's some mutual respect from the former players as well not to be a problem. CE5588 wants to know, what style of basketball do you believe would fit West Virginia best in the modern era?
Winning.
Okay. There you go.
So I would think, you know, just blue collar mentality, all that stuff, probably defensive focus, but also a team that has like something that's really harassing and effective defensively too. West Virginia was extremely popular and unique. It's hard to do. I understand that, but just think about what that did for them. Became a brand, West Virginia, right? There's something to that about being a really good defensive school here that I think would help. I think that's the way they're going to go. I'm not saying they're looking for a full court press team, but you're probably going to look for a coach who favors or is known for defense. And I think that you can win. And again, like, minimize some margins that exist if you're a really good defensive team.
Next question comes from Stone 10 USN. I think this stems from my comment about, you know, Ren Baker should talk to the Iowa State AD since they made that switch from winless Big 12 to Sweet 16 team the following year. He wants to know, you know, is there confidence in Ren Baker and what WVU offers, facilities, money, name, brand, etc., or WVU to make the NCAA tournament next year similar to that Iowa State situation?
Excitement, sure. Expectation, I don't know. It depends. Like, you want to be in the tournament every year. And I'm sure Baker's going to be like, I want to get back to the tournament or get to the tournament quickly. But it just, there's so much that goes into it. I don't have to tell you that. Like, you got to hire the guys, you got to get a staff, you have to hit the portal, you got to recruit. We don't know how many players are going to be on the team. Like, to demand it or expect it, that's difficult, I think. But like, this is Baker's first real big hire too. So the sooner the better he gets ROI. And that might be part of it too. Do I have a guy who can get a tournament ready roster in here too? I think so. I think the fact that, like, hey, let's rebuild this from the ground up and make it like a 4 or 5 year build, those days are gone. And something that differentiates a candidate is how quickly he can get you back on your feet with the portal and, you know, international contacts or, you know, finding freshmen in the rough. That's going to be a way of the world in the future. So expectation, no. Excitement, yeah. They're going to want to get into postseason basketball again soon.
Do they have the facilities for that? Yes. Do they have the NIL money to, for lack of a better term, purchase the correct roster? So far, it seems like it. We'll see if they'll repeat that giving. And does the school have the money to put up enough salary to get a top-tier coach? They've done it in the past. So that answers those three questions of that. It's more about the making the right hire and then that right hire making the right acquisitions for players.
Yes.
BJH00017, Mike, please don't get mad at me. Top three candidates for the men's basketball job in the eyes of Ren Baker and the athletic department as of February 19th. Oh my God. I can't believe Mike muted himself for this question. That's lovely.
We're almost out of time. I didn't realize that
Folks, folks, for those watching on the video podcast, he was naming them. He was writing them off 1, 2, 3. He was saying names, and now it's muted and it might be lost forever.
Son of a gun. My bad. Clumsy fingers. Was trying to clean the screen and hit the wrong button. Lost that forever, huh?
Dang. That's unfortunate.
Technology. You want to handle the dealer's choice question before we go?
What's that?
Someone just said dealer's choice. Give me some information. Do you have any? Scoop?
No.
Got a minute?
I got nothing. I will say official visits are being set for that Memorial Day weekend. Expect that to be one with maybe not quite as many as last year, those first couple weekends of June. I was informed, you know, that they were very tight on official visits because of all of those trips that they took. They're going to be a little more precise, a little more picky about who they're inviting up for official visits this summer.
I looked at financial reports for basketball spending, and men have underspent recruiting than women since 2020. Last 4 years, more money on recruiting for women's basketball than men's basketball. Not a bad thing. Going to have to change. Until next time, I'm Mike Casazza.
I'm Chris Anderson.
We will talk to you then.